A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Texans and Colts play Sunday at NRG Stadium. The Texans are 5-point favorites per mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Yesterday, C.J. Stroud was asked about that delicate balance of pressing versus playing smart when things aren't going well for his offense. Here's his response.
I consider myself, you know, a really good football player, and you know, I have a really good guy. I have a really great God-given talent, and you know, I love to, you know, show those talents. But you know, at the same time, you know, I got to be able to, you know, control my ops and, you know, have that controlled aggression. And, you know, that's something that I think I can be better at is, you know, is just, I think I've been, you know, doing a good job of protecting the ball, you know, and taking my ops. I just think I, you know, I would love some more, you know, and just take on that responsibility of, you know, just putting more on my plate, because I think I can handle it. You know, I've had these conversations with my coaches and my teammates. And so, you know, I think that as we, you know, continue to go and the season gets longer and longer, I'll continue to flourish and grow, you know, and I'm excited for that.
What do you think about the first part of that, Joe?
Got to get his ops.
I mean the first part of that.
Can we play it again?
The very first part. Just listen to this. This is interesting.
I consider myself, you know, a really good football player, and you know, I have a really good guy. I have a really great God-given talent, and you know, I love to, you know, show those talents. But you
that
know,
part.
At the same time,
he loves to show his talents. So he feels like he's not being allowed to show his talents currently.
Not suggesting that. I just think there's the ego he's showing there was interesting.
Yeah, well, CJ always kind of he has like a he really balances the line of ego and humility, because the way he presents it comes off like a very humble person, but he's like, I have a lot of talent. And it's like, yeah, you do.
It's like confidence while also being humble.
Yeah,
it's like a very it is an interesting mix of. He is sure of himself.
And every Sunday after the game, he thanks God for his God-given talents. First thing he does.
Hey,
but he's very confident in his ability. I have no problem with that. I just thought it was interesting the way that he started that answer. I don't think he's been pressing. I don't know what he could have done on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, just given the pressure that was happening. But at a certain point, people are going to start questioning what they're not seeing from C.J. Stroud. And it's time for another battle red pill. For your 5-2 Houston Texans.
Heretics dare to question the Houston Texans' greatness.
How dare you?
Is it bullshit?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Or will you take this battle red pill?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Mike Lombardi was on with Bill Simmons last week before Stroud's rough performance against the Green Bay Packers. And he is not feeling the C.J. Stroud hype.
Stroud isn't as good as we've made him out to be. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
Really? Wait, is this a zag against Stroud? What's the case?
No, I think when you look at his numbers, and I mean, look, you just look at the analytical numbers on him. He doesn't rank into the top on expected completions and all those things. He's not in the top five of any of those categories. I think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But I think on the road, I think he struggles. Look, you know, I mean, last year they went into Carolina and lost. He was a rookie. I get that. But I think when he went up to Minnesota, they didn't play very well in that game.
Okay. So he's good, but he's not probably that top five, top ten good, you know, that many have put him in.
The numbers from Sunday are very consistent with what Lombardi said before Sunday's game. Again, that was for a Friday episode of the Bill Simmons podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I still think CJ belongs in like that upper echelon category of quarterbacks right now. He's moved down for sure from where the season started, because some of the play, I think some of the guys like we didn't buy into collectively as, you know, people that watch football, specifically a guy like Jared Goff. Then we have to kind of start to elevate him above C.J. Stroud right now and give him the credit that he actually deserves. And he's not the guy who was being coached until 10 seconds left were on the clock in L.A. But I think you can say C.J.'s not having a great year because he's not having as good a year as we thought he was going to have. He's definitely is having a little bit of a sophomore slump. And it's not all his fault. And that's why I don't totally agree with Lombardi saying. I get where he's coming from. But if you look at the analytics and the raw numbers and the box scores, it tells you a story that I think if you watch the game, you will see it from a different vantage point.
Eye test is different. And to that eye test, that leads us to the next possible battle red pill. Mina Kimes of ESPN, who I like her football opinions. I know she's not for everybody, but I'm a fan. I think she actually watches in addition to looks at the extras, those analytics, those numbers that Mike Lombardi's talking about here. And she has a concern about C.J. Stroud.
Here is my fear with C.J. Stroud. He is beginning to be the new Justin Herbert for me, where every week on tape, I'm like, this dude is putting out some of the best throws I've seen of any quarterback, and yet everything around him is crumbling. He's constantly in third and long. They're constantly running the ball with no success on early downs. I am starting to really worry because we're about halfway into the season. This should be a Super Bowl team, but Alex, it feels like the infrastructure around him is not good enough right now.
I very much agree. I think it is a great comparison for C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense right now. It is a quarterback with a lot of talent. He does not have the arm that Justin Herbert has. But the Chargers, mostly through injury, but a lot of bad coaching also, have been a largely dysfunctional organization. Even though you had, you know, Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and Mike Williams, Justin Herbert had no prayer. And even this year with John Harbaugh, it's still been tough.
Jim
Harbaugh. Yep, thank you. It's a Harbaugh. It's still been tough because you have an offensive coordinator who worked with Lamar Jackson, who now is supposed to work with Justin Herbert. I don't think really works the same way with Greg Roman. The Texans' offense is a disaster, and a lot of it's not his fault. The offensive line's not good. Nico Collins is hurt. Dalton Schultz has been MIA most of the season. Tank Dell's been MIA most of the season. And Stephon Diggs seems to only get the ball thrown to him 3 yards from the line of scrimmage. So I agree with pretty much everything she just said there.
I think Stroud's on the same level, Herbert, as far as the actual arm. Different ways of looking at the arm, though. Maybe Herbert has more actual power behind it. I think Stroud's placement accuracy are second to none. But there are a lot of people who have been saying, hey, Stroud needs to get the ball out more quickly. And what I tell them is, if he gets the ball out more quickly, you're going to see a lot more one-yard receptions by Stephon Diggs. Because that's essentially a lot of what's been going on with this offense and some of the play calls they've been making. It just doesn't feel like they're doing a very good job of drawing things up downfield. And they got to figure that out. If Nico Collins is out and you don't have the ability to throw over the middle of the field, you have to have something else out there. Whether it's Dalton Schultz or Tank Dell running down the seam or something like that. You need something else. Even if it's going to take some time for that play to develop, you need to have more than these quick outs that seem to be going for 1-2 yards at a time. Joe Mixon saying, hey, figure it out, should not be more efficient than what the passing game is. So I'm going to look at it a little bit differently from where she's looking at it with Herbert. I think she's looking at it from a, hey, the situation he's in is not great. I think this situation is better than what Herbert was in. And Stroud is going to have to figure some of these things out on his own because I have always felt like Herbert gets his ass kissed a little bit too much. It's not to say I think he's bad, but I think Herbert's tough. I think he is in not the best situation. And maybe if he does have the same kind of Matt Stafford relocation that Stafford had, he ends up winning something someday. But I feel like he has always been praised a little bit too much. I think Stroud's better. Perhaps I'm a little bit biased on that front.
No, I think it's totally fair like to think that he's a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. Part of it's because what Mina's talking about, Justin Herbert's been dealing with for 3 years now. It's been the same story. Where this is, seems to be a new thing for CJ. I mean, it's just so different than it was last year. Last year he had the most time to throw in the league because of the way they were moving the offense. They gotta find some answers. Like not having Nico Collins out there is not acceptable for how poor the offense has looked in the second half of games, even when Nico Collins has been on the field. Like so, I definitely agree with Mina, and I definitely think a lot of it. It falls back on Bobby Slowick and what he's trying to accomplish. and maybe he's just not the right OC for this team and what they're trying to, you know, do with CJ Stroud.
One last little tidbit for this segment, and for those who maybe aren't the biggest CJ Stroud fans out there, out of Twitch, this is what Alex Smith had to say about CJ Stroud moments after what Mina Kimes said, making that comparison to Justin Herbert.
I've thought about this. Like, if I were to pick one quarterback that you could, like, watch and be like, this is what it looks like. This is what playing quarterback looks like. I think I would pick CJ Stroud. When you talk about, like, classically, beautifully playing quarterback, like, yeah. It is so fundamental. He makes it look so easy. He is so dialed in. He is so sound. It's so crazy to say about a second-year player. Like, yeah. It's absurd. I even think in some ways he's more fundamental than Joe Burrow. He's had, you know, two rough games, maybe two of his roughest games of his career this season. Both of them, I think, are two of the best teams in football, though, they played against. He went on the road to Minnesota and he went on the road to Green Bay. Watching that film, though, there wasn't anything he missed out there. There wasn't a lot of opportunities. This O-line struggled. They got pick stunted 5 different times up front. I think they're going to be fine.
Okay. That's interesting to hear that from Alex Smith. But at the same time, like it is the two best to counterpoint him just a little bit here to, you know, go the other way. It's the two best teams you played, and it was bad performances in both those games. Mm-hmm. Like whether it's CJ Slowick, the offensive line coach, like all of the above, you got to have a better game plan when you go against these teams. It's nice to hear that from Smith's perspective that CJ's not missing anything and he just doesn't have anything to do, but it still doesn't make me feel super positive.
I feel there is a chance for all this to figure itself out. And if it does get figured out, everyone's going to look at Stroud as a consensus top 5 guy. But I do not share the same optimism and positivity that you heard from D'Amico Ryans from CJ Stroud earlier in today's show. Check out the Galana George podcast first hour for those comments. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. It's Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Houston Rockets tipped off their season last night. We're going to share with you how we talk about largely unimportant Rockets games this season because there's a lot of overreaction today. The overreaction needs to chill a little bit. But there's certainly some things to be frustrated about. We'll try to get through it as best we can. Stay put.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Sports fans, gear up for your next game day hang with your friends. What's on the menu? Sliders, wings, chips and salsa? All your favorite game day foods go well with Stella Rosa wines, a semi-sweet and semi-sparkling wine that must be served chilled. Stella Rosa can be found at your local retailer, so remember to grab a couple bottles next time you shop. Nothing sweeter than a cold glass of Stella Rosa and watching your team compete. Please celebrate responsibly.
Hey, everybody. John Granato with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, there are so many sites in this city that you don't even realize Houston Powder Coaters has touched.
We have been in the Woodlands Waterway, lots of the Landry's restaurants. We've been to Nico Nico's. So if you eat anywhere in Houston, a lot of times we've touched those tables.
What else has Houston Powder Coaters got going on?
Well, we have some exciting projects. We've teamed up with Buffalo Bayou Preservation that you see going into downtown. We're doing benches and the expansion right there. Also, Herman Park. We are now doing a lot of projects there. Everyone's getting ready for the World Cup in 2026, so we are a part of livening up our city.
And it's you guys that the city goes to because they can trust you, right?
They can always trust us.
If I call, can I talk to Robin Orlando at Houston Powder Coaters?
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Hurry, don't wait. Call Houston Powder Coaters.
281-676-3888.
Or you can go to the website at HoustonPowderCoaters.com, but it's better to talk to Robin.
That's me.
Chastain Ford is the place to go if you're in the market for a Ford. Their professional staff will provide you with an outstanding truck buying experience. They offer competitive pricing and an extensive selection of new and used Ford vehicles. From the sales staff to the finance team, their knowledgeable and friendly staff are devoted to helping you find the perfect Ford for your needs. Chastain Ford also offers exclusive incentives and deals to get the most out of your purchase. Whether looking for a truck or SUV, Chastain Ford is the perfect place to find your dream Ford.
See website for details. Bills Happen is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old. Not available in all states.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by for a few weeks.
We should do what my brother did. He went to billshappen.com and got $3,000 the next day.
With our bad credit, I don't think so.
BillsHappen.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with all credit types get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope, my brother said it was easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan for up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account the next day. BillsHappen.com's lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history.
Great news! I went to BillsHappen.com, and we will have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to BillsHappen.com. That's BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com.
Tell Olalea, the man, the myth, the movie guy. Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
Yeah, you know, when you're losing games like this, end of the game, of course, the first inning is the first game in the home. So, but we can get it back. It's just 8-1 game left. You know, we got to learn, we got to watch movie, film, all that things. You know, we come back strong as Friday.
That's Alperen Şengün after the Rockets' season-opening loss to the Charlotte Hornets. 110-105 last night at Toyota Center. Take a look at Şengün's stats. I mean, they were pretty awesome to look at. 25 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. But 10-22 from the field. You know what? I'll give him this. 66% from outside. At least one guy was efficient, which is with his 3-point shooting. Huzzah!
I mean, the offense still, even he didn't have his most efficient day. Obviously, it was so much clearer. Like, it was so clear how much better the offense moved when they were giving him the ball first, and then letting them work from that point and slowing it down. Like, just like seeing them like breathe a little bit. Maybe it's because they're so young still. Even though Fred VanVleet's like part of the problem here, going. What do you go, like 11 of 28 or whatever?
Two for 11 from outside.
Ugh, terrible.
That's not good.
But I thought Alpi was fine last night. I mean, you know, watching the game, like through like the second quarter, I was like, yeah, that's why they paid this guy. Like, it's so clear he's the best player on the team. I love watching him play because it's a good blend of old school and new school. Honestly, I'd like to see him shoot more threes.
Threes?
Give me 5 a game.
Well, how about this? How about more Houston Cougars charity exhibition? How about that? Because guess what? On Sunday, the Houston Cougars are going to play Texas A&M in a charity exhibition game inside Fertitta Center at 4 p.m. I read this copy originally. I was like, wait, the Cougars are playing Texas A&M in football on Saturday?
Basketball.
Proceeds from the game are going to benefit the Greater Houston Disaster Alliance Hurricane Beryl Recovery Fund, which assists those who were affected by the storm. Tickets are available at uhcougars.com/tickets. We're giving away a 4-pack of tickets right now to caller number 3, 713-780-3776. Again, 713-780-3776. A 4-pack of tickets for a Cougars Aggies charity exhibition game. That'll be fun. Fertitta Center is a great place to watch a game.
Yeah, I think both coaches have been on John and Lance this week, and they said that they're going to play basketball. So they're not just going to be like running out. Like,
that is pretty crazy.
Ryan Alvin.
I'm literally just hearing of this as I read this, and I'm figuring it out as I continue to read it. So this is Kelvin Sampson. This is Buzz Williams. This is the full shebang.
Yeah, full shebang this weekend.
Wow.
They're playing a charity game on Sunday before. So I know
that's really cool.
Yeah, A&M's first game is the 4th. So I guess a week from Monday.
Okay.
And I think the Cougs' first game is the 4th or the 5th. So.
Hell yeah.
And I'm thinking about going.
I mean,
credential somewhere.
It's that or the Texans game.
Well, that's at 4:00.
Hmm.
The game's at 4:00.
Okay. You're gonna go over to. I mean, it's not that far away. If you probably get a little bit late. Getting out. But
I'll always leave the Texans game early. They'll be winning by 20.
Well, you drive up 288. You probably get there 20 to 30 minutes later. As someone who did a Texans and then Astros playoff game last year, it took a little bit of time.
Yeah, I could see that.
Took a little bit of time.
NRG's not the easiest to leave.
No, but you could do it, that's for sure. So yeah, that'll be fun. Good job, guys. Tickets available at uhcougars.com/tickets. Proceeds from the game are going to assist the Greater Houston Disaster Alliance Hurricane Barrel Recovery Fund. I did not know that college programs were capable of doing stuff like this. And seriously, a tip of the hat to the Cougs and to the Aggies out there. All right, so look, a lot of people are overreacting to the Rockets' loss last night. And I can understand why. It's the first game. There was a lot of hype for them going into the year. But as the season goes along, it's exactly the same as it is with the Astros. We generally put those games on the back burner, and we're going to talk about them in a way which is appropriate. My big takeaway from last night, we'll get to in a moment, isn't something that I'm freaking out about as much as I'm just annoyed by it. But here's what we're going to do. After unimportant games for the Rockets, say they play against a team who sucks, like the Charlotte Hornets, we're going to talk about this game for about 3 minutes or so, and then we're done. So we got to get all of our takes out in 3 minutes. We got a timer. We have music in the background that's from the 90s Rockets. I think they were playing this at the Summit back in the day. So let's go. 3, 2, 1. All our thoughts on a Rockets 110-105 loss to the Hornets.
You're on the clock. Got Matt Thompson. And Matt Thompson will be the starting point guard after 20 games.
Wow.
Boom.
Damn. Okay, Joe. Jeez. Didn't think you were going to come out like that. Here's my big take. You're not good enough to shoot the ball 42 times from outside. You're just not, as a team. By the way, it was technically 43. The last one. I'm going to even take that one out because Fred VanVleet's just chucking it up from half court. 13 of 43 from outside. That's 30.2% in total. And Jalen Green, we all want him to be a better three-point shooter by the end of the year. And the shots that he took last night, technically not bad. He's not that good of a three-point shooter for 15 shots in the game. Nope. Don't do it. Bad. That's a bad Jalen Green. Psh, psh, psh.
A little water spray there?
Water spray like I give to my cat.
Water spray, just like we give to our cats. To Fred VanVleet, when you're shooting this badly, someone just tell him to stop, please. Just tell him to stop doing it. Stop chucking him. You're not Jalen Green. Like, I give Jalen Green a little. You think you're a star. We know Fred VanVleet is not a star. Stop chucking him up, please. Ime Udoka, tell him to stop.
I think it was a bad for the short-term Rockets of this team will make the playoffs. That was a pretty good game thinking about the long-term Rockets and the $300 million you just gave to two players. They showed flashes of why you give them each over $100 million. I thought that was good. Reed Sheppard, all right. Still a little rookie point guard-ish. Maybe we all need to chill out a little bit on Reed Sheppard.
Yeah, I think so.
As far as like him being the guy that takes Fred VanVleet's spot.
Smart move getting the facial hair. He looks a lot less young.
Oh, he's aged a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, the beard helps. Child. The beard helps.
I'm still surprised that he played more minutes than Cam Whitmore last night. They don't view Cam Whitmore the way I do. Because I think he's a really fun basketball player and super talented. He fell in the draft. He got sent down to the G League last year, and then now he's immediately getting less minutes than Reed Sheppard. Surprised.
Yeah, Whitmore played well last year in 8 minutes. I think he needed more. I like that he put a guy firmly into the court on a layup attempt. I thought that guy was going to be hurt after that happened.
Yeah, that is something with Ime Udoka where I'd like him to be a little bit more flexible with the lineups. Where you look at the minute totals for the starters, and it looks like a normal minute total for all the starters. And you look over to the right where you see how well they shot, and you're like, actually, did we need over 30 minutes of both Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith shooting, a combined 3 for 14 was about where they were? So that's one where could that be more Tari's and could that be more Cam Whitmore? Could that be more Amin Thompson minutes? Oh, this is the last 24 seconds.
Oh, you got anything left?
Nope.
At the buzzer? Oh, okay. There you go.
Got it in 3 minutes.
That's the 10-second timer at the very end. I'm going to have to change the music a little bit because I did not know that song had as much beat in the background. It's a little annoying.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, I just want the instrumental version of that. So next time we'll have that.
Okay.
Shut up. Okay? There's nothing worse than the DJ talking over some hot beat during an EDM song. Nothing worse.
Nothing worse.
Nothing worse. Yeah.
War, famine.
This is war. This is worse than war and famine and Deshaun Watson. Yeah. There's nothing worse than you know, DJ Khaled, for example. Like, shut up.
What about like Jason Derulo when he just like
shut up
yells Jason Derulo,
but then he sings.
No, I don't even know what Jason Derulo is.
That's a lie.
I don't know what he is. Is it a girl?
No.
Jason. Okay.
Jason. You ever met a female
well,
Jason?
It's 2024. You're How right. dare you assume someone's gender?
I mean,
my bad.
But Jason Derulo was most popular in like, I don't know, 2008?
Yeah. Oh, so now I'm old. Now I would know who Jason Derulo is.
Honestly, like, I assumed you would know who he is. Yeah. Like, I figured like, that's no. like prime drinking songs.
The DJs?
Definitely heard his music. Yeah.
Right, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Well, he says his name, so you know it's Jason Derulo.
Honestly, I don't remember a song where Jason Derulo goes, Jason Derulo, like that fat slob DJ Khaled.
It's more Jason Derulo. It's more of like a McDonald's jingle almost.
Yeah, it is. That's a good point.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to anything ever.
Mm. End of the world.
I prefer the end of the world to
murder
DJ Khaled.
Aaron Hernandez.
At least he won games.
I mean, Aaron Hernandez hasn't killed as many songs as DJ Khaled has by saying his effing name at the beginning of it. Like, he has any input into what made this song. Must be nice. Must be nice to be just an oblivious idiot who's fat and out of shape and disgusting.
It does really nothing.
I don't get it. I hate him. I really, like, honestly, wow. No
so
one.
Today.
Well, listen, I'm just getting it all out, okay? Positive Paul. I hate DJ Khaled. That's a positive sign.
You're positive that you hate him.
I'm positive that I hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel like everyone sees things the way that I do.
I don't think you're wrong.
No, this is something I've heard for a long time.
Disgusting.
Why does DJ Khaled say his name like he does something before, like, all I do is win? Which, talk about a 2010 song.
It makes you think that the song's by DJ Khaled.
Yeah, like he's like,
it's not.
He like curates it, is like all he does. Where he's like, all I do is I get these people in the room and they make the music.
Exactly. It's a drunk person stealing the microphone and just like putting his stamp, his schmenzer all over it. Ugh, gross. Anyway, I'm done. Sorry. That is our Rockets 3-minute recap.
Why does he put a schmenzer on it?
That's essentially what it's doing. It's just plopping it all over that song, like trying to establish dominance. It's ridiculous. What is he, a cat rubbing his face against something, marking its territory?
Is that how cats mark their territory?
Yeah, oh yeah, the bunting. That's what they do. It's their facial glands, where dogs just pee on things. Who's the better pet?
Interesting. So much sense.
Anyway, it's Gallant and George.
Figure that out.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mega says, gee, another fat person Paulie G hates. I hate DJ Khaled like more than anything. I really do. I just despise his existence. Anyway.
How often do you think about DJ Khaled?
Just there, that moment right there. The horror, the flashback, my hatred.
How much does DJ Khaled come
DJ
up
Khaled.
In your life?
Yeah. He asked if I like Vince Wilfork as a Patriot. That's different. He's a defensive lineman. If you're an athlete and you're big, I don't mind.
He was nimble, too.
But if you're somebody that like made it so that I couldn't go outside during the pandemic in Seattle because of your comorbidities, then, yeah, I'm not a big fan. Anyway, Gallant and George, stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. We are getting closer and closer to another week of NFL action. We do have a Thursday night football game tonight. Will Al Michaels be able to make it through the game without going on a rant that sounds a little bit like Paul Gallant when he's being whiny? 7:15 tonight on Amazon Prime. The Vikings, 5-1. The Rams, 2-4. Will this be a good game?
Yes. The Rams they're 2-4, but they're a competitive football team. So I'll say yes. Might be Cooper Kupp's last game, they've been saying now. If the trade's going to happen, it'll be after this one. So, because he goes out there tonight, shows that he's healthy. Gets traded on Sunday.
Then the Monday. Tennessee Titans swoop in and trade for him.
It's so bizarre that the Titans are the only team linked to Cooper Kupp right now. But hey, I'm sure there will be more as we get closer to the actual NFL trade deadline. How far away is it? I think it's midway through the year now, week 8, right?
I think they pushed
November,
it back.
November 8th, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it used to be like this week.
So
it used to be so early.
November 5th.
November 5th. Okay, so we've got basically 2 weeks.
Oh, Election Day.
Huh. Wow. Trying to steal the thunder away from our government's future?
The NFL is trying to show how powerful.
They're trying to suppress votes by moving people around. They have to change their address. Now they can't vote.
They've taken down the NBA on Christmas. They're taking over Black Friday by putting out games out there. Now they're taking on the government, taking on the election.
That is so NFL.
They're taking over election night.
Please wait to trade Cooper Kupp, they're telling the Rams right now, until Election Day. We need people talking about us.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, November
5th. And if you can trade him to a swing state, that'd be great.
Vikings are 3-point favorites against the Rams tonight. Rams are in a rough spot. They're banged up. They're not the Rams of old. We'll see. I feel like the Vikings have a very good chance of snuffing all life out of this LA offense. And I do think Al Michaels will be annoyed at some point during the game.
100% he'll be annoyed by something in the
Yeah, that's just who he is these days.
They're going to talk a lot about Cooper Kupp and the story he told this week on Matt Stafford's podcast about him dropping 35 on Zach LaVine in high school. I bet you that gets mentioned at least twice tonight.
I like that.
That's a good story, at least.
Tua Tagovailoa back at Dolphins practice. Here's Tyreek Hill talking about the return of his quarterback.
Beautiful. Almost made me cry today, man. Like, just having him in the lineup. Having him call the plays, having him, you know, direct the offense. Like, just hearing his voice. I know that sounds crazy, but he's a big part of this team, bro. Like, you see why these quarterbacks are paying so much money, man. And just respect I have for him, the respect this whole team has for him. Like, he's going to have his back, you know, no matter what. So, glad to have him back.
No guardian cap for Tua. Tyree continued, he's the franchise. Anybody that doesn't see that or doesn't believe it, go to another team. I miss the dude, bro. Me and him connected on a few deep shots today. I miss that. I told him I got to take him and his wife out to dinner because I missed him so much.
That's so nice of you, Tyreek. Apparently he is, like, with the guardian cap thing, apparently he has a special helmet already. For quarterbacks. That's supposed to, clearly he's not good enough. But he has a special helmet he already wears to prevent concussions.
I imagine the quarterback helmet, it's like, so you don't get hit. Like how Josh Allen went down. It's like Josh Allen was the side of his head, wasn't mm-hmm. it? I was thinking like the back of the head. Like when you get hit and you slam backward, maybe there's extra padding there, but that's not how Tua got hurt last time. He got hurt running the football like a real player.
He did hit the front of his helmet, but then he did somehow fall to the back.
Okay.
Like he always does. So, again, I'm not going to act like I know what happened there. I just know that he looked dazed again. And if he wants to play, go and play. I'm not going to tell a highly competitive athlete to stop. If he thinks he can still do it, go do it, man.
And his contract is dependent on him playing. So, like, it's fully guaranteed. I get why he's going out there.
Yeah, and again, he's an athlete. They're just wired different.
He's also like 25 years old. Like
that
the
too.
People that are like, you should retire.
He's immortal.
Like, it's 25.
You think you're immortal when you're that, even if you are getting concussed every 5 seconds. Raiders defensive lineman Max Crosby was asked about Patriots head coach Jerod Mayo calling his team soft. He said it's fighting words for a head coach to call his team soft. And I agree. The Mayo situation cannot end quickly enough.
Yeah, I know they were trying to...
He's a bad coach.
So stupid on the internet. Everyone's running with... Kirk Minahan did the thing again where he put out a fake story about Jerod Mayo and people just started running with it.
Kirk Minahan from Barstool, right?
Yeah.
Kirk Minahan used to be a sports radio host in Boston. He now works for Barstool and he does a successful true crime podcast and does not care about sports at all.
Yeah, he tried to claim that Jerod Mayo will be fired in the next 48 hours and people just started running with it because they're dumb. So, so you want him gone?
I want Mayo gone. Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out. The retracting, calling your team soft days after, and with Bill Belichick also joining the fray, clearly butthurt about getting pushed out the door by Bob Kraft. This has been horribly managed. It is a disaster. And they're probably not going to fire him after this year.
Are you normally a mayo guy? Like on sandwiches?
No, I don't like mayo. If it's aioli, though, I do like it.
Okay.
Tell me it's aioli.
Call it aioli.
Call it aioli? I'll leave it.
Just call it aioli.
Yeah. But mayo, it's gross. You know? Okay. It's got the Will Levis Association now.
It does hurt the branding a little bit. I am a mayo guy, though.
You like mayo on your subs?
I like a little bit of it.
Yeah, I don't want like a drench.
What does it do, though? Just
great
like,
question.
It's egg spread?
Yeah, it's like a little texture.
Yeah.
It's texture, but yeah, does it really add flavor? Because the aioli at least usually has some sort of
there's
flavor.
There's like
to
a tang to it.
Okay.
It's not a ton of flavor.
I feel like it does need something else usually. Like I go mayo and mustard.
Usually. Yeah, mayo and mustard is that's the sum greater than its parts. Mm.
I don't think I hate mayo, but I generally ask for none of it again, unless it's aioli, and then I let it go.
Extra aioli.
It's really stupid.
No mayo. Extra aioli, though.
I realize how stupid this is. I just want everyone to know. This is a fun Packers storyline. Aaron Rodgers is with the New York Jets. Robert Saleh is at Packers practice today as what seems like a Packers assistant coach. I love this. This is an FU by the Packers.
I love this, too. The idea that Robert Saleh could get a Super Bowl ring this year as a member of the Green Bay Packers coaching staff and Aaron Rodgers to miss the playoffs with the Jets makes me giggle a little bit, even though it makes me sad to see the Packers win a Super Bowl. I think my disdain for Aaron Rodgers is higher still. So I like this move. It's a good move. The Texans should have brought in Robert Saleh.
The defense isn't the problem, though. Is he going to fix the offensive line?
You never know. No.
Also, your disdain for the Aaron Rodgers is more than your disdain for the Packers?
I think so.
Bad fan.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm accused of it constantly.
Sound kind of woke, too, huh? Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
I like Aaron Rodgers more now than I did before.
He's always on Joe Rogan. Jameson Williams got suspended again. God.
Yeah, PEDs.
This time it's PEDs, but it's only a 2-game PED suspension. Which is bizarre.
I thought it was always 4.
Well, here's what's crazy. So, Danico Autry, PEDs, got suspended 6. Mario Edwards, substance of abuse, gets suspended 4. Jameson Williams, PED, after a 4-game suspension for a gambling violation, gets 2. I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't.
It really does feel like the NFL has some sort of wheel in the background, and that's how they determine punishments. Because I remember reading through the NFL's policy on suspensions for PEDs and for substances of abuse, and I thought for substance of abuse, it's 4, first time. For PEDs, it's 6, first time. At least I thought.
Yeah, so there must be something. They must have different levels of like it's like less of a violation.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's Adderall? I don't know.
See, I could see that. Where something like Adderall is only a 2-game suspension.
It's so bizarre, though.
I mean, it shouldn't be any games, but.
But also just the idea that it's like some stuff will get you popped for 4. Some will get you popped for 6. Some will get you popped for 2. It's just, it is crazy. It is something that is funny that Jameson Williams just cannot go a year without being suspended for something very minor, too. It's nothing like Rashee Rice. Like, Jameson Williams always something where you're like, yeah, this is against the rules, dude. I don't know what you... It's not criminal, but it's against the rules. I don't know what you're thinking.
Some of these guys, they can never get out of their own
way. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's always something different, too. It's not like Josh Gordon, where it's like one thing over and over again. It's always like, it's the gambling, then it was... I guess one was an ACL.
I mean, think about the gambling one. It's not even like he got suspended for betting on sports, not the NFL. And the reason why he got in trouble was because he did it on Lions property. Like, that's the fundamental reason why he got in trouble.
Yeah.
Because he bet on, like, basketball while he was at the Lions practice facility. Like, that's just
it's just all knucklehead
just wait,
stuff.
Just wait 10 minutes, dude. Go home.
Yeah, it's all the stupidest stuff.
Yeah.
Galan and George, he's Joe. I'm Paul, Sean behind the glass. Who's the most down bad team in the National Football League? Who is most down bad? It has been a fun week. for a couple of different organizations. By my money, it's between two teams, but we'll go through a bunch of them next. Stay put, Gallon and George.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We've gotten to the point of the year in the NFL season where there are some teams who are truly so effing bad that you'd still watch them instead of a World Series game, but it's rough. It's really rough. And I think that the two teams that are the most down bad are having a week from hell, which is saying something because it's been a rough year for both already. First off, the Carolina Panthers have been forced to make Bryce Young the starting quarterback again. Care to guess why? Andy Dalton got in a car crash and hurt his thumb.
I was going to say he had like mono or something. Like
no.
Something. Sam Darnold?
Yeah, yeah, man.
Hey, but maybe this is the redemption arc for Bryce Young.
They should have put Young back in anyway.
30 for 30.
Also, this is not the first time that a Carolina quarterback has gotten into a car wreck.
Cam Newton?
Cam Newton got in a car wreck, like, what, 2014-ish? 2016, maybe? Yeah. It's crazy that if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, you've had two quarterbacks miss games. I think Cam only missed one game somehow in his car wreck. But
yeah, it seemed like it was a serious leg injury.
Yeah.
At first.
You had two – because there's a picture of him like laying on the pavement, wasn't there?
I think so.
But the – having to go back to Bryce Young.
They should have already done
they
it.
They should have.
They should have never gone away from him.
They should have, but you
honest.
Don't want it to happen because of injury. Not because of the – you can't lose your job because – I just mean like literally you would like for the Carolina Panthers, if you're a fan, to actually make the right decision at some point, not be forced into doing something that they should be doing anyway.
You know what? I'd like if it happened during an injury in a game. Because if it happens because of a car wreck, it makes you just seem so sad and down bad.
It is. It is something, and there's no way to prove this. And this obviously is not true. And whatever. Be safe on the roads. It seems like it's something that can only happen to a bad team. And Georgia football. But they don't get in wrecks. They just get pulled over.
Well, there was the... Yeah.
There's the one time. There's the one time. But then they didn't stop. I can't imagine this happening to a good football team. Okay. Where a player that's important on their team, especially their quarterback, but just any player, really, like, just gets in a car wreck and they're out.
Are the Panthers, though, as down bad as the New York Jets? And I say that because things are really getting fun for Jets fans. We talked about what Aaron Rodgers had said on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Here is Aaron Rodgers saying that again, and a fantastic response to it on Get Up by Dominique Foxworth.
That's got to start with me. I need to be a great leader. I'm going to set the tone this week with that. You know, I think personally and as a team, we're playing with too much anger and not enough enjoyment.
What do we think of that?
Man, throw some touchdowns, man.
Don't give me all that.
I get it. It's a leadership thing. And maybe that works for them in the locker room. But my guess is they're in the locker room like, yeah. And don't throw it to the guys in the other color jerseys and throw some touchdowns. I don't want to hear this, and I get it. Every week on McAfee.
So,
I mean, it's got to be a better leader. Starts with me.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers. He's a wee guy.
He's got a hamstring injury, though. And he's about to turn 41, I think in a couple of days, weeks. Energy was a little flat, said Aaron Rodgers about the loss to the Steelers on Sunday. But here's the worst part. Jets fans have decided to increase season ticket prices. they just did this in the middle of the year. It happened yesterday. Season ticket invoice came out today. 6% increase on top of 30% last year. First payment is due November 15th. The team is 2-5.
Yikes. Guys, you got it. A little bit better timing here.
Even worse, Fireman Ed is being phased out of Jets games. Here's Fireman Ed, noted Jets fan who left the team and then came back, who definitely isn't all about himself and clearly no Jake Asman. Here he is bitching and moaning.
Normally, as a tradition, we're always put on a screen. Me, Scott, and Jetman are put on a screen to do the Jet chant and get the crowd going, which is a staple in Jet Life Stadium. Also, on a defensive end, which is the most important, normally they will put us on the screen to get the crowd going. It gives it more of a widespread experience for the fans to see, and we can get the defensive chant going. But something's going on in the Jet production team over in Jet Life Stadium. I don't know exactly what's going on, but they're phasing us out, and I'd like to know if somebody knows anything. Please let me know, because it's evident that it's happening and it needs to stop, because we need home field advantage.
Fireman Ed's sick of showing the kids wearing Jets jerseys on the Jumbotron. It's about Fireman Ed leading the charge and making the home field advantage happen.
I don't understand. Of all the things in sports, the super fans that feel this important, I just don't get it. And they're like, they're not showing me on the big screen to lead the chants. Other people can do that. Your PA announcer can do that. Why do you matter so much, Fireman
and the
Ed?
Fireman Ed, he's a fireman, we think.
No,
I think he's got to be at least retired. He's getting up there, for sure.
I would not want him to save me from a building.
I believe the chant is only J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets.
Like, is that what he's complaining about? Like, it's like,
well, he's got to rev him up before.
Or is he wanting to say, or like, it feels like he's wanting to say that, or just defense.
No, he wants to do the J-E-T-S Jets chant.
That's how you get him riled up. And some would say, well, can't anyone who's, I don't know, more than a second grader do that?
Only Fireman Ed.
No, only Fireman Ed.
Don't you wish Jake Asman had a thick New York accent?
I do wish. I do wish he did. Maybe it's come back now that he's moved back up there.
It could be.
Maybe he was, you know, it was hiding.
He does scream a lot now. So he's always yelling. I'm on my TikTok and I just.
I mean, A, that's TikTok.
Algorithm showing you like Jake Asman on TikTok. Damn,
I like
dude.
Jake.
Yeah, he throws some likes in there.
We're friendly.
Oh, I didn't think that you were friendly based off of previous comments on this show.
I mean, we're like friendly enough.
Are the Jets and Panthers the most down bad teams in the NFL? Patriots are up there. I mean,
yeah,
it's been
well covered on this show.
We talked about it enough.
Like, Drake May is still like arrow up, so I think that's why I would put them above the Panthers.
But I do feel like we're one Drake May like broken rib away from. Oh my God, the season's over
for sure. You got the Giants. Malik Nabers was catchless in his return after missing a couple of games. He was pissed. I was open. Daniel Jones was pissed that he got benched for Drew Locke. Brian Daboll is being asked about everybody being angry, from Giants ownership to Malik Nabers. So it's bad for the Giants, too.
The Giants are interesting because John Mara just did an interview and said that he's not firing Joe Shane, their GM, or Daboll.
Interesting.
Now, doesn't that often like lead to the firing?
It is
like
the dreaded vote of confidence, yes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Shane isn't on the table, right? I mean, he wanted Saquon Barkley back. Saquon Barkley does not come back. Saquon Barkley then does come back.
And runs for
176 yards and says that, yeah, I could go for 200 yards and probably get it, but I'm going to sit on the bench for the fourth quarter.
What a good teammate.
That was such great PR for Saquon Barkley and such awful PR for Nick Sirianni.
Oh, my God.
For being like, I want to put you back in there and break your record. And Saquon's like, I'm good, dude. Let's not.
Yeah, that was tough. Browns?
Yeah, that's true, too. The Browns, but no. I think, honestly, now that Deshaun Watson's
arrow
gone,
pointing up.
The arrow cannot go any further down. It has to go up.
You're right.
Jameis is at least fun.
By default, they're trending in a new direction.
All the other teams are down bad because their quarterback is hurt, whether they got in a car wreck or not. Or, like with the Patriots, we think that if their quarterback does get hurt, they'll be more down bad. The Browns are in the weird situation where their quarterback getting hurt actually lifts them up a little bit. Just the vibes have to be not as bad. I'm not saying they're good. They're just not as bad as they were Sunday morning.
I mean, I bet you fans will like be cheering very loudly for Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if it's a home game.
When he gets introduced.
Yeah.
Standing ovation.
Blow the roof off the place.
They're at home versus the Ravens this weekend. That place is going to explode.
Oh.
They have a chance. They have a chance to do something hilarious.
Honestly, they're so lucky that Deshaun is out for this game. If they lose to the Ravens and get stomped by them, it's the team that left you and they're kicking your ass. And Deshaun Watson's still out there while Lamar Jackson, the MVP, is on the other sideline.
What chance do you think the Browns have of beating the Ravens on Sunday?
20%.
What chance did you think the Browns had of beating the Ravens when Deshaun Watson was
2%.
Healthy? Okay.
Zero. Not even a remote chance.
Just because Nick Chubb was back.
But I don't know.
Any given Sunday.
2% of Nick Chubb.
It's Galant and George. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George, Paul Galant. Up next, should you overreact to one game by the Houston Rockets? Because it was a rough one. Their loss to the Charlotte Hornets. We'll discuss one more time. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.